The smallest state in the country has a growing number of elderly residents. Rhode Island already has the largest percentage of people aged 85 and older in the nation, and that number is only going to increase as baby boomers start to join that group. This week, Rhode Island Public Radio takes an in-depth look at older Rhode Islanders in a new series we're calling The Silver Boom, Aging in Rhode Island. To start us off, we spoke with the person who coordinates services for the elderly, Catherine Taylor, the head of the State Division of Elderly Affairs. Catherine Taylor, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Elizabeth.
You know, a lot of people say that New Englanders head south to Florida when they retire. So how did Rhode Island end up with such a large percentage of elderly residents?
You know, we've been actually looking at that both in the government and in the industry to try to understand that, because we don't have as high a percentage of individuals 65 to 75 as we do the super elderly, the 85 and older. I've developed a theory that I haven't proved about this, but folks do leave when they retire and they go to Florida, and they take with them their taxable retirement dollars, their purchasing power, their volunteer hours, their help with their family, and they come back when they become frail and are in need of long-term care to be with family.
And can you describe this group a little bit?
The younger elders or the older elders, because we really divide them into two groups. People who are baby boomers, who are turning 65 at the rate of 10,000 a day across the country, are not the old people that we all have in our consciousness, the old lady with the buns sitting in a rocking chair knitting. These are folks who, if they were interested in riding motorcycles the day before they turn 65, they still do. If they had an addiction the day before they turned 65, they still do. So they're defying all stereotypes. But the older elders are, you know, a generation older. They still have very different attitudes about life, but they're also developing a lot of health issues like Alzheimer's in great numbers that we're really needing to address.
Now, are there specific challenges for different ethnic and racial groups as they age? I'm thinking like maybe newer immigrants who might not speak English.
Absolutely. Some of the unique difficulties for people who don't speak English are even getting information about not only long-term care options, but the diseases that cause you to need long-term care. There's a lot of skepticism about what happens if you do interact with the government. Another concern is to have a multilingual capability in a long-term care system. So, for example, in Alzheimer's, an individual, as he or she progresses in the disease, will regress back in time to when they were much younger. And if their language of origin was different from English, they may forget English, but only be able to communicate in the language of origin.
Now, what kinds of options are out there, Catherine Taylor, for people who are looking for housing for older parents or residents just planning for their own future?
There are an array of options. In fact, one of the misconceptions out there is that there is nothing in between perfect health in your own home and utter incapacitation in a nursing home. But there is so much in between. And we have an array of home care options to bring supports into the home as someone needs, you know, a little help shoveling snow or grocery shopping. Then we have assisted living, where you can move into your own apartment but have your meals in a congregate setting and have activities and help with transportation. And really only if you need the highest level of care do you need to go into a nursing home.
And given that Rhode Island does have already such a large percentage of people 85 and older when compared to the rest of the country, are there some ways that we're out ahead of this? Are there innovative approaches that people are trying in Rhode Island to help care for this population?
There are, and I would actually go back to our work on writing the state plan on Alzheimer's. I think our process for this plan is unique in the nation in that we are really thinking outside of the box of all the different disciplines and people and entities that are affected by Alzheimer's, whether it's a local law enforcement or the prison, for example, and how is Alzheimer's affecting the prison.
You mentioned Alzheimer's. What are the numbers on that? How many people currently suffer from Alzheimer's in the state, and how much is that expected to grow?
So we have about 24,000 to 25,000 people in Rhode Island diagnosed with Alzheimer's and related dementias right now. And we have about a little over 100,000 people who are family caregivers of these folks. So the disease is directly affecting a tenth of our population and more, not to mention all of the clinicians, social service support folks, the employers who are employing family caregivers who need to be absent to do that work, and there is no cure. So this is the wave that we're really concerned within the state right now in making sure we have those tools to support those 24,000, but really their families, because it is a caregiver's disease.
So, Catherine Taylor, looking at Rhode Island's population of people in their 60s and 70s and people in their 80s and 90s and maybe even older, what are your biggest concerns? What do you see as the needs of this population that people are not thinking about enough right now?
I actually think the biggest issue is an attitudinal one, how we ourselves look at older people and how do we look at aging ourselves. You know, people need to understand that everybody is capable of making new friendships well past their 100th birthday, participating in society, offering volunteer hours, and that when we get there, we should be looking forward to being treated the same way. And if we can change that attitude, I think so much else will fall into place.
And what about financial issues for the elderly? I mean, as more and more people are working longer because mm-hmm. they've seen their retirement accounts take a hit in the recession, and fewer people have pensions these days, I mean, are you concerned about the financial well-being of our elderly?
I am deeply concerned. And one of the big misconceptions out there among the elderly is that Medicare pays for long-term care, and it does not. It only pays for regular health care, hospitalization, and prescription drugs. So if individuals find themselves in need of nursing home care or assisted living, if they haven't saved for it and they're not low income, they're in tough shape. So I'm very worried about that. I don't think it's always a bad thing when elders find that they need to work past the traditional retirement age, because for a lot of people, that loss of purpose and identity that comes with retirement is very, very destabilizing. So it's really nice if people, as they age, have a choice whether to keep on working or not. Having to work, especially in a very backbreaking job, just to make sure you can put food on the table, heat your apartment, and make sure you have your cholesterol drugs, that's an awful thing.
So, Catherine Taylor, the head of the Rhode Island Division of Elderly Affairs, thank you so much for speaking with me.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.